Good morning. How's everybody doing? We can interact. You can say hey. My name is Heath. I'm the lead pastor here at Reach Community Church, and I'm excited to be here today. I'm excited to continue in the series and see what God's going to do when we get out of our comfort zone and do some things that aren't easy and aren't natural. And so if you're joining us today for the first time, you're in week three of a series that is entitled In the Name of Love. And the premise behind this is that God has set us an example to be that he has led, that we are called to follow, and where our life and joy is going to come from is leading that example. And everything that he did for us was in the name of love. And so what we've been encouraging people to do for the last 2 weeks, today and the next 2 weeks, is to get out of your comfort zone and experience God by serving other people. And so I'm going to pray, and we're going to get started. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you that that right now, as we sit, I stand in this middle school cafeteria, Lord, you're here. And Lord, I pray that regardless of where our experience is, regardless of where the individual is right now sitting, Lord, I pray that there would just be an overwhelming sense of your goodness and your desire to interact with us. And so, Lord, I pray that because of that, Lord, your power, not by my preaching, not by my stories, but by your word, Lord, would transform the way we feel about ourselves, the way we think about ourselves. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the boldness to step into the life that you've called us to live. And so, Lord, we just give you the next 30 minutes. Lord, we just give you, I give you my words. Lord, I pray that you would just focus me in on you. And so, Lord, we acknowledge also that without your Holy Spirit, Lord, we're lost and we're helpless. But, Lord, you said in your word that it's to our benefit that you go away so that the helper would come. And, Lord, we just acknowledge that he's here in our presence. And he wants to speak to us and encourage us. And so, Lord, we just submit to that. And we just pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And so today I want to talk about something similar. I feel like during this you're going to almost feel like I'm beating the same drum every week. And that's okay. I want to beat the same drum every week because I want to get you in a mindset that you have the capacity to bring change in someone's life. And this week specifically we're going to talk about this idea of serving. This idea that God has set for an example for us to follow. And so I want to start off by this. We have grown up, if you're not churched, I'm sorry, I'm not going to really talk about church things, but I believe that we're in the South and a lot of people have grown up in or around a church environment. And so their expectation of what God is going to do and what they should do could be set on something that isn't reality. And so let's break it down to the simple. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Simple. Here's what church is. Jesus came, lived a life that you could not, to earn the peace that you don't deserve, to give you the love that you don't deserve by going to the cross and paying the penalty for you. And he has set for us. He said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to deny yourself and to pick up your cross and follow me daily. And so the plainest, simplest design when it comes to being a follower of Jesus is that a follower does what the person that he's following does. Plain and simple. So if I were to say, follow me, this school is set up in a circle. So if we were to go out of here and I say, hey, we're going to do a very simple task, follow me around and we're going to walk the circle, even if you didn't know where it went and where the hallway went to, as long as you were behind me and being led by me and kept your eyes on me, you would make it all the way back here. And see, Jesus has set for us an example for us to follow. And the simplest part of our life is to set our eyes on Jesus. Through the word, through worship, and do what he does. I mean, even Jesus, when he was here, and he is part of the Trinity, said the words, I only do what I see my Father doing, and I only say what I hear my Father saying. He only did what he saw, and he only spoke what he heard. And he's calling us to live in this same place. There is, that seems very simple, right? I mean, that seems, yes, follow, okay, I can get that. The reality is it's not that simple. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a lot of scripture because I believe that his words are more important than mine. And so I want to lead you in a way that's not just me telling you stories and making you feel good and guilting you into anything that is not my goal. We're going to start in Matthew 20. Matthew 20, verses 25 and 28. The beginning of this is a very interesting part of the scripture because Jesus has disciples. He has these 12 guys that he picked to be his disciples, meaning his first followers. And all they did is follow him around. And all they tried to do is do what he did. And they had this belief, this understanding that Jesus was going to set up an earthly kingdom. And in that earthly kingdom, he was going to have people because Jesus was going to be the king. He was going to free Jerusalem from the Roman rule, and he was going to set up under him people that would be like his number two guy, his number three guy. And in this, one of the guys, I think it actually started with his moms. Moms will get us in trouble sometimes. They have this great idea for what they want their team. So James and John were brothers. Their mom went to Jesus and be like, hey, Jesus. Like, when you enter your kingdom, when you become king, can you let, you know, one of my boys sit on the right hand and the other on the left? Which I think is funny. I mean, like, we look at Jesus and what he did and what he established, and we think that's silly, but literally she was thinking, hey, I just want my kids to be in the mix, and I want them to be, like, in the top mix of what's going on. And Jesus kind of rebuked her and said, hey, you don't know what you're asking, but it led to this dialogue about who is and who isn't in leadership, and what does leadership look like, and what does it mean to serve, and what does it mean to follow? But in verse 25, it says, but Jesus called them and said to him, and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them, because he's dealing with this mindset that they're setting a kingdom that has the head guy at the very top, and then underneath that is his next level of leadership, next level of leadership, next level of leadership, till you get down to the very bottom of that. And Jesus has come to set up a kingdom that is nothing like that, where Jesus is the bottom of that, at the very bottom of being a servant. And he goes into this dialogue and says in 26, is that it shall not be so among you. So he's saying, I'm not calling you to get a position of authority so that you can rule over somebody. Jesus didn't call pastors, followers, disciples to experience his grace, experience his mercy, so that we could walk around in our world and go, we have Jesus and you need him. To rule it over them, to say, oh, you know, this idea of going up to someone and telling them they're going to burn in hell, I think is the dumbest thing in the world. Jesus, I don't see that anywhere other than the religious leaders. He got in their face and kind of broke them down. But like everybody else, the ones that our religious people of today would go up and say, you're going to burn in hell, Jesus would go, hey, come here. Let me love on you. Let me serve you. Let me touch you. Like the lepers, the people that we wouldn't have contact with, this is Jesus. And so he's setting this in motion. He said, but whoever would be great among you. So the mom was asking, hey, let my sons be great among your kingdom. And he's saying, hey, guys, if you want to be great in my kingdom, whoever's going to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to serve, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Plain and simple, if we're going to be followers of Jesus, we're going to take the low, humble road of serving people. That's the picture. That is the picture that Jesus is saying, because he's destroying their idea of their high position, of their high rule, and he's going, hey, if you're really going to follow me, this is what it's going to look like. And so I want a little disclaimer, because the text that I'm going to talk about in the end here for the largest portion of Scripture I'm going to cover out of Matthew 25, if you're not careful, even over what I've just said, you will have this equation: works equals salvation. So if you're not careful, everything else that I'm going to say, in even what I just read to you, you could walk away from here and go, if I do, God loves me and I'm saved. And let me, just so we have the right equation, here's the equation that I'm working off of. God loved us, gave and served us, so that we could experience that and have a reservoir to serve others. And the only way that we're saved is by what Jesus did on the cross, not our actions. So don't hear what I'm going to talk to, because I'm going to hammer, because I feel like Jesus hammers his disciples in this mentality that if you're going to be my child, you're going to serve. There is no other way. But I don't want you to walk away going, well, only if I serve will he love me and will he save me. Love, salvation is the beginning. It is the free gift. Okay, that's for free, just so we're on the same page. Here, Rick Warren said this. It says, for Christian, he's talking about serving. He said, for Christian, service is not something to be tacked on to our schedules if we can spare time for it. It is the heart of the Christian life. The heart message of the Christian life. It should be the baseline of who we are. I don't know if you know or are familiar with the geography of this region, but there was two bodies of waters that were relatively close to each other. One was the Sea of Galilee and one was the Dead Sea. The Sea of Galilee is where all of the fishing expositions or fishing trips happened. Sorry, tried to use a word that wasn't in my vocabulary and it didn't go well. It's okay. Happens a lot. So Jesus, when he threw a net over, when something happened, when they were on the sea, fish were there, Sea of Galilee. A little bit ways down the road, there's this sea that's called the Dead Sea. It is below sea level, and basically here's what happens. All of the water runs down to this Dead Sea and it doesn't go anywhere. Hang in here with me for a second. It works for what I'm saying. Here's the mentality. A lot of what is dead in the church today, a lot of what is dead in us followers, is that we want this. We want God to bless us. We want God to pour into us. We want God to give us the easy way. And we open our arms wide. And then when we get it, we hold it and we keep it. And that mentality, just like the Dead Sea, when there's nothing going out of you, same thing, like if you just stop having bowel movements, bad. Same thing. So in our lives, if we're not receiving and giving, something's going wrong inside of us. In our natural system, same thing with the Sea of Galilee. It had water coming in, but it had water going out, so it stayed this place where life could breed, where life could grow, where fish and life came from, where the Dead Sea, it had everything pouring into it, it had nothing going out, and it killed everything that was in it. If you want life in Jesus, you have to have this flow. You have to have this flow in, because we can't give. We cannot give out. We cannot serve if we're not receiving. So we have to receive. And here's just Proverbs 15:3, just so we understand. Our lives aren't under the radar of God. You might fly under the radar of the church and of your friends and have kind of this secret thing. Our lives do not fly under the radar of God. Proverbs 15:3, it says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Probably 2 weeks ago, was doing my kind of devotional time, and I was reading, I was coming off of speaking at one of our youth camps 2 weeks ago, and I was there for the night when they were kind of talking about the Holy Spirit and the gift of what God has given us here living in this world. And I was sitting there, I had just finished reading my devotional reading, and I was just kind of open for God to speak to me, and I felt like in that moment that God was like, I've given you everything that you need. Everything that you need, I've put inside of you, and it's been placed there and is held there by the Holy Spirit. And then I felt like in that moment, God was going, I'm always there. And when that changes in us, when we realize that even in our dark moments, God is there, it changes the way we think, the way we feel, the way we respond. Like if I followed you around, I'm sure you probably would behave more. I mean, maybe you're perfect. But I did youth ministry for 9 years, and I know the kids didn't act like they did around me when they weren't around me. Like, they would probably say things that they wouldn't normally say. They would probably watch something that they wouldn't normally watch if I was in the room. And the reality is that we serve a God that wants to free us from all those things, and He is there, ever present. So, Here's the statement that I'm going to hammer off of. How do we serve a God that we cannot see? So how do we serve a God that we cannot see? By serving those that we can see. By serving others. Matthew 5, verses 46 and 47, it says, "For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same thing?" So here he's saying, hey, our love isn't just for those that we like, isn't just for those that are nice to us. Our love and our kindness exceeds that. So by serving others, by serving the weak and disadvantaged, by serving the suffering and by serving the undeserved. And here's the text. If you've got your Bibles with you, Matthew 25, verse 31 through 40. This is a beautiful text. Beautiful in the sense that God is watching, is paying attention about what His children are doing. And this text, if we're not careful, and this is why I gave you the disclaimer, you can get, do a plus B and equal C, get your salvation. So I'm going to read this, and we're going to kind of pick some stuff out of here. Verse 31 says, "When the Son of Man comes in glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from goats." Okay, here's what's going on here. This is the illustration that he's getting. He said, one day I am going to return. One day every account is going to be made. What your life has meant, what your life has done, I'm going to bring everybody in, and we're going to separate those that are mine, like a shepherd would separate the sheep and the goat. So here's his picture, that one day there are going to be those that are my children, that are coming into my kingdom, and there will be those that are not my children that aren't going to come into my kingdom. In verse 33, he said, "And He will place the sheep on His right and the goats on the left. And then the King will say to those on His right, 'Come, for you are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" And check this out. Listen to this. This is important. It says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. For I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." And then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the King will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did to me. See, here's the thing that eliminates the service equals or earns our salvation. The righteous didn't even know that they were doing it. They were not feeding, clothing, visiting, so as to earn the love of God. They just did it. And followers of Jesus live in this same place. Is that we don't go out looking for opportunities. Now, I've got these cards, and I don't think it's natural to serve. I don't think, unless you grew up in a family that has just sown that into you and invested in you, the gift of serving, our natural response is not to sacrifice ourselves and serve. It isn't. And so I think the Holy Spirit changes what was natural in us and moves us into other what can be natural places for us of serving and moves us into this place. But the ones that were in the kingdom, the ones that God called righteous, were the ones who served. And it goes on, and the other side of that coin goes, well, when did we see you and didn't? Like, we never saw Jesus, because there's kind of this mentality, well, if Jesus walked in here, yes, we would respond. Where he's saying right here, the least of these. You know, when we serve someone else, we get to experience God because we get to serve him. And this is what pushes us past the point, because let's just be honest, a lot of people don't want Jesus. They don't want church. They don't want your opinion. They don't, because they've been wounded, they've been hurt, maybe their background. And as you reach into our world and you begin to serve people, you're going to, I think, meet some conflict. And the thing that pushes us past the uncomfortable is this reality that Jesus is the one we're serving, not the one who we have conflict against. If someone rejects you, we're not being rejected by God. We're being rejected by the person, but we still get to serve. We still get to give. Another kind of key part of this is that all of these just happened. I believe every day that we're presented with opportunities to serve and see God. Every day we're presented with opportunities to open a door for somebody, take a cart back for somebody, clean up someone's yard, going, you know, a friend calls and they need, and you go. And here's the beauty of this, is that when we're serving them, we're not just serving them, but we're serving God. I read an article, part of what I'm preaching out of today came out of a book that I've been reading for a while, and it was talking about this idea, and this one pastor who's writing the book was talking about a stay-at-home mom. And the stay-at-home mom was reading the scripture, and she was like, I'm home with my kids, and I don't get to do these things. I don't have the time to go out and feed and clothe. And he gave her this picture, which I think is beautiful. He said, your kids probably wouldn't have any clothes on them unless you provided them. Some of them, unless you helped them put them on. Your kids probably wouldn't eat if you didn't help them get their meal together, if you didn't cook dinner. Your kid would not have help, would not, with fever, with vomiting, with all the things that go with that, would not have that nurturing, caring person in their life if it wasn't for you. See, we can serve each other. It changes our view of even how we serve our kids. Because it's not just, let me tell you, I'm a parent, I got three kids. Kids can be aggravating. And sometimes you just want to, you know, lock them in the room. Hope they don't come out all day. But the reality is it changes. It's not just there, you know, I'm not just serving them. Like, I'm not just serving Noah and Allie and Lydia. I'm serving God the Father as I do these things. So when I get up in the morning and I decide to treat my children on a school day, and instead of getting their, you know, Allie likes her toast with butter and cinnamon on it, and she doesn't like the crust, you know, so I could cut the crust off for her and love her by serving God. I could decide in the morning, really special on a weekday, I could make some fried eggs. Which kids, they never turn away fried eggs. I make some good fried eggs. Just saying. Over medium, got to keep the white hard, but you got to have a little yellow runny, okay? And preaching. Okay, I'm getting good. And all of these things happen as we serve. I mean, even husbands and wives. I think some of the hardest things we do is serving our spouse. And it changes our view when we look at it like we're not just serving them. We're getting to love the God who put on flesh and died on the cross for us as we serve and love. Husbands, as we walk into the house and we see the garbage overflowing, which is one of my jobs, which I neglect a lot. Like every time I see Jody pulling the garbage bag out of the can, I feel like I failed. Like, man, why didn't I check? You know, as you're walking by the dish, the sink, and there's dishes in there. Of, you know, it's not just like, hey, you know, that's someone else's problem, or whose night was it to clean dishes? It's just going in there, and we get to touch and experience and love on God by loving on our families, by loving on our kids, and we get to do that outside of here. We get to experience God, and we get to touch Him. Like, I have not done a lot of prison visits, but I've had 4 or 5 people that I've visited. One I visited for like 4 months. I went to county jail every other week and sit behind a glass wall, and he loved the reality of getting out of cell. He was in maximum security in a county jail for like 8 months, and he got to come out of his cell, which he spent most of his day in, and come have a conversation with me. Well, they were interesting conversations, but... I would always bring them as much as I could back to the cross and back to the Word. And, you know, I wasn't just visiting him. Like, my efforts to love him is my efforts to serve my Creator. We've got some fun things that we've been talking to about doing stuff with homeless and stuff around here that you actually get to get your hands in and touch and experience God, and this is the joy. James 1, verse 27, it says, we serve God by serving widows and orphans. It says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this, to visit the orphan and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Like, we got to, in February, we took 8 people down to Mazatlan, Mexico, and we're connected with a missions organization called Back to Back, and they work with the orphan. They work with orphanages, and we get to go in there. Your church, you may not know this, if you've ever given a penny to our church, some of your money has gone to sponsor America, which is a little girl that stays at the Salvation Army house. There is one of their orphanages that they are with. We sponsor her, which means she gets her school supplies paid for, she gets food and meals, and we actually get to write letters back and forth with her. Lydia got to write her a letter about a week ago, and we get to interact. And this is what we get to do, to experience, and it's here. So what is serving? See, I could get very theological with you, and we could talk about the words that they use, but to put it plain in English, to serve, it is a verb. It means action. Not an attitude of the heart. Like, I love that you have a servant attitude of the heart, but if that attitude doesn't work itself into action. One phrase that I love is that our belief, real belief, is always moved into action. I think it was Rick Warren that said this too. He said that we only believe in the parts of the Bible that we do. So we can read, we can have understanding, we can experience all that, but until we get to, we don't get to experience God until we begin to put those things into practice. Simply put, it means to do or to act on the behalf of another. So how can we serve a God that we cannot see? By serving those around us. One way, and we're helping you. This card on the back of it has a very simple explanation of the gospel. And what we're asking all of you guys to do, even if this is your first Sunday, you can take these cards with you. I went through the McDonald's line yesterday getting breakfast on the way down to help somebody move and bought the car behind me. Side note, I'm going to give you a freebie. At least McDonald's, they have to have a override to use your card twice in a row from the supervisor. So just know that, you know, maybe you have cash in your car or maybe use another car, which they still did, which was super fun. Like, so the lady who is checking me out, not checking me out, but like, check me out. That sounded weird when it came out of me. So the lady that was working at the drive-thru, I asked, hey, can I pay for the person behind me? And she was like, sure. And so she had to call her manager over, and she was like, hey, no one's done that in a minute. And I thought she meant like somebody just did that, and it was annoying her because she had to come. And she goes, I said, so people have been doing that a lot? No, not since it was popular on Facebook. And so like, I'm okay. And so the lady, the supervisor walks away, the lady, she was like, she doesn't know, and she used a colorful word there. She was like, she doesn't know anything, but used a different word. You know, somebody just did that last week or something, and like that. And I was like, okay. And so she ran the transaction. I was like, can you just, you know, give them this card? And I left. So side note, if you go to a fast food, they may have to get a supervisor, but just hang in there. They'll be fine. The person who is behind you may be frustrated, but as soon as they find out that their meal is paid, they're super happy. So that could be a lot of different things. I mean, literally, it could be going and serving someone. It could be buying a gift card somewhere. I go to Port City, Java a fair amount, do a lot of meetings in there. And my plan this week is to buy some $5 cards, get a little piece of paper and wrap it with this card and just say a gift for you and just randomly leave them on tables. Because normally I'll go into a Port City job and I'll sit there for 4 to 6 hours meeting with people and doing some sermon prep stuff. And so I get to set them on tables and I get to watch as people go. So I'll get to observe. But the idea here is you serve. I mean, it could literally be you going next door and mowing grass, or you seeing something. Like the other day, I didn't leave a card for this, but our neighbors are gone a fair amount, and they travel, and this is simple. I mean, this is how simple it works. Their garbage cans were sitting down at the road, and I took them and put them beside their house. I mean, it could be anything. Finding ways that you can love on and serve people. It's how we experience God. So here's some other local opportunities that are coming up. We, here at this school, Leland Middle School and North Brunswick High School, we are connected to a ministry called Matthew's Ministry. They raise money and collect food that they give to students every week. So we bring, last year, 15 to 20 plastic bags filled with food supplies to go home with students on Friday, because a lot of students that go here free and reduced lunch, and when they leave here, some of those students don't have anything at home to eat. And so it has peanut butter, it has Chef Boyardee, it has crackers and snacks and all kinds of stuff that we supply for them. One thing, which we can have volunteers right now. Don't raise your hand, but come find me. we have families last year that actually went by the storage unit. The bags are already packed, and collected the bags and brought them here to the school. Take them to the guidance counselor. You just set them in her office, and then she makes sure that the students get them. That's one small thing that we do. Another small thing that we're going to do is we're going to get school supplies. And as a parent that has kids in year-round, we've already done the school supply shopping. It's expensive. And her classroom is a great place for you to just buy some of these. Are just generic supplies that they use all year. So even though we are going to give them to her next week, at any point during the year, these things that are on the list that you just walk by and you want to buy some extra wipes, if you want to buy some extra tissues or pencils or paper, you can bring that anytime and we'll make sure she gets it. And her class is a great place to do that. Another ministry, on I think it's the fourth Saturday of every month. What do they do with the five? They do it the last, it's still the fourth. Okay, there's a ministry called Manna Ministries that here, local, actually the husband and wife that run Manna Ministries go to Crosswinds. They collect food every month, and on the last Saturday of the month, they distribute to the fourth Saturday of every month, starting at 8 a.m., relatively. And they give about 100 families food, like chicken, frozen chicken, bread, other meats, other condensed product. I mean, there's all kinds. They get two bags, and they need volunteers every that fourth Sunday to come out there, Saturday, fourth Saturday, thank you, to come out there and just help carry bags. Like, you don't have to do anything other than literally when they come through and they give their information and they check them out. They have people that have little, you can even take your kids. The first time we went, I took our kids with us and they helped us put the little food into little buggies and you take it out to their car and put it in their trunk and, you know, just smile and be nice and kind. Fourth Saturday of every month. And here on Sundays, all of this gets set up and torn down. The school doesn't do it for us. We do it. We come in here at 7:30. There are lots of things here on Sunday. If you want to touch somebody, the reason why we do this, the reason why we put up pipe and drape, the reason why we bring in all this stuff is because we want to serve God's people, serve those who are going to be God's people by creating an atmosphere that they can come and worship and hear his word. And that didn't just happen here. We have a kids ministry. We have three different areas, different kids. We're always looking for people to serve. And here's why. In the name of love. We don't ask people to go back there and babysit kids. We ask people to go back there and serve kids. They're going to hear the gospel and potentially respond to the gospel while you're here. Or we're asking you to do all of those things with our kids' ministry while the parents who may not know Jesus come into this room and hear the gospel, potentially respond to the gospel. And all of these other things that happen from guest services to doing the words and doing sound and pipe and drape, all of those are ways that we can actively serve people. Another, what might be simple, we are in the second week in September, we're starting our community groups back. One way that you can serve other people is by participating in a community group. We believe that relationships, God exists in three parts, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He created us to exist in community. In his creation, the only thing that was negative was that man was alone. In us is a desire to be connected. So you can get involved in a community group just by going and participating will serve the efforts of other people. So two more scriptures and then we'll close. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 8 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in the human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." In Colossians 3, 23 and 24, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive your inheritance as a reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." Serving does not come natural to us, but it is what will bring us life, because our world would not sell as many self-help books if we had figured it out. And Jesus, from the beginning, said, "If you'll take your eyes off of you and if you'll serve other people, I'll change you." It's how we get to experience, not only how we get to love God, but it's how we get to put into practice the things that we believe. It's how we get to experience God. And so what I would like to do is I'm going to invite our worship team to come back up front, and we're going to close with a song. And if it's your first Sunday here, this isn't so we can extend your time and your stay here or capture you more, but I believe that our best and easiest time to respond to what God is doing with us is now. And so there's two things that I feel that God wants to do today. One is he wants to change your nature. He wants to move you from being a selfish, self-centered person into a person that's going to experience him by serving. And so one side of that coin is a commitment on your part to serve this week. One thing. Even as we go, your one thing that you do may figure out one way that you can serve God by serving someone else this week. And the other side of that coin, or not that coin, but the other thing that I would like you to think about during this last song is, where's your experience with the Father? I spent 18 years in church not getting Jesus, hearing the gospel, repeating the gospel, but never experiencing the life that God desires. And then one day I went to a camp and spent a week there hearing about this idea of a personal relationship with Jesus. And so if this morning you're here and for whatever reason, and in that right now you would love to experience God being a good Father who loves us and makes us who we are, here's the simple of it, is that you're rotten to the core. Don't take that personally. We're all rotten to the core. Me standing here outside of the grace of God, I have nothing to offer. Being rotten to the core, we have to pay the penalty for that sin, for that transgression, for that thing that we've done that has offended God. God, knowing that we could never make right what we've done wrong, sent his Son on your behalf to live the life that you could not live, to go to the cross and pay the penalty in blood for your sin, for your wrong. No matter how great or small. And then proved who he was by raising from the dead 3 days later. And so during this last song for you, if you feel far from God and aren't experiencing God and don't have the life, it may just mean you saying, hey, God, here I am. I know I'm rotten to the core. I know that you've done these things, and I want to trust you to give me life and life to the full. And that's the simple. The beginning of this journey is the simplest thing that you will do in the journey. And the journey continues on. It lets us put our eyes on Jesus and begin to follow him. And so I'm going to pray. We're going to go into our last song. And at the end of the song, we're going to have some prayer people up front. If there's things going on in your life that you just need someone to stand with you and acknowledge. The Bible actually says that as we confess our sins one to the other, we are healed. There's a power when we just release the things that are burdening us and allow someone to stand in agreement. So I'm going to pray. Respond as you see fit to what God's calling you today, and then we'll worship him. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you right now that you've not called us to be all about us. And I just pray for this week that you would help us take our eyes off of us and that you would help us put our eyes on you. And I pray that today we would make decisions to serve you this week by serving those that we come in contact with. And Lord, I just pray for anyone in this room that may not know you. I pray that there wouldn't be pressure to say yes to do, but there would be just a holy encounter with a loving God that would radically change everything about them. And Lord, I thank you that you loved us first, that you pursued us. And Lord, you've called us to join in into your pursuing, into your loving, into your ever-growing kingdom. And so, Lord, just have your way with us. In Jesus' name, amen.